what had happened. Okay.
So 19 years ago, I suffered from acute respiratory distress syndrome. And I was in the, I actually suffered from it in Singapore, but I was on a business trip and I went to the US and I was hospitalized. And I went into the emergency room and then almost immediately went into intensive care. And during the intensive care, there was a period where I couldn't breathe, so I was under intubation and oxygen. And it was during this period I had this experience, okay? And this experience was very, very real. What I remember was that I was a sparkling brown dot. I did not have a body form. And that I was traveling through space at very high velocity with other sparkling brown dots together. And it was a very peaceful feeling. You want it to last forever. And I remember it went on for a long time, just traveling with other sparkling brown dots. And we all went into this tunnel. And I remember that for some reason, as we entered the tunnel, there was these wood logs floating on top of us sparkling brown dots as we were traveling. And as soon as I became conscious of these wood logs and their purpose, and I was conscious that if I climb on top of the wood log, I would assume my human form. And as soon as I became aware of it, I didn't hesitate. I climbed on the wooden log. And I straddled the wooden log, and I came out of the tunnel, walked backwards with my body, walked back up the ramp, and up on the ramp, on the upper level, looking down as the ramp's coming up on the behind the wall, were two males. One was about 45, and the other was about 12. Both are male. They are Caucasian, and they're wearing white robes. And the 12-year-old was a boy. Was holding onto a white bicycle. And they just watched me quietly walk up. They never said a word, they just watched me. And that's the last I remember of that near-death experience. I don't know how long it lasted, but I was definitely in intensive care, and it was very, very real for me. I don't know.
So how did it end? You came back to consciousness at that time, or? Just the vision disappeared at that particular time.
The vision stopped right when I was walking up the ramp and I saw the two men, two males, one with the bicycle, and that's all. That's the last I remember. Then the next thing I remember, maybe days later, I woke up.
Oh, okay.
But that segment I remember very clearly. It was crystal. To this day, 19 years later, I still remember it. So I'm still trying to make sense out of it.
Yeah. You were there in the talk from the beginning? You were there for the talk, or you just
came? I'm so sorry. My husband was. I had some other engagements.
Okay,
I sent him to listen for me.
Okay.
And he told me about what you said,
okay.
Which is the science of.
Yeah. So there are two. I started by talking about there are two aspects to the near-death experiences.
Mm-hmm.
One is the paranormal perceptions. We see some other realm. And the other is what is scientifically called as the veridical perceptions, something which is factual, which is either verifiable or disprovable. So now, as far as the paranormal perceptions are concerned, they are not really subjectable to any rigorous scientific scrutiny. And what we can focus on is what is observable or verifiable, the observations that are confirmable or refutable with our ordinary observations. So the soul itself, which is the source of consciousness, the soul is connected with the body, but sometimes in times of stress, the soul can become decoupled from the body. The soul can go elsewhere and experience certain things.
But the body is still alive.
The body is still capable of functionality.
Yes, I was kept alive with life support.
Yeah, so yes, that's true. It was still capable of functionality. And then it becomes function after the soul returns and the body starts functioning thereafter. So now, the just like when we have dreams. So in our dreams, we may see various things. Some of them may make sense. Some of them may not make sense. But what we can understand by observing our dreams is that normally when we experience something, our body experiences it. Now, I eat something, my tongue experiences and that I experience something as delicious. So normally we equate the experiencer with the body. Whenever the body experiences something, I experience it. But when we dream, at that time, I may witness myself being chased by a tiger. But my body does not experience that phenomena exactly.
So you're suggesting that in our dreams, there are moments where our soul has temporarily just decoupled.
No, I'm going to some other point here.
Oh, okay.
The point which I'm making here is that the primary thing that we can learn from the soul, from the experience of dreams, is that the experiencer is not the body. Normally the experiences that we have are through the body, but the experiencer itself is not the body. Because the body is inactive and still we are experiencing so many things in the dream. And that is the experience which everyone has. But in your case, you had an extraordinary experience where the body was physically inactive and still you are experiencing something. I said you saw yourself as a bright brown dot. So that indicates that you have direct experiential reality, that the experiencer, the real you, is separate from the body. Now, going into the specifics of various dreams, that is a laborious exercise. And often there is, some of the dreams may just be incoherent. So there are higher powers in the world beyond our own power. And sometimes through the orchestration of higher powers, we might have some extraordinary experiences. And if those experiences in their specifics are having some meaning, then that will be revealed to us. But if the specifics are not revealed to us, say now you had that experience 19 years ago, and so the specific significance of those two people whom you saw, or the specific going through a wood log, and a tunnel, all that, if that has not been revealed to you, rather than focusing on the rather than worrying too much about the specifics, you can focus on the universal principle. The universal underlying principle is that there is a side to us which is non-physical. That there is a side to us which continues to exist and which continues to experience, to perceive and experience, even in the physical body not experiencing anything. And that, in the ancient traditions, is called by various names. One of the names is the soul. The soul is a distinct entity separate from the body, which is presently connected with the body, but at certain times it can become decoupled from the body. And more important than making sense of certain specific experiences we may have had, it's more important to make sense of understanding the experiencer itself. Who am I? If I try to understand that, then that will be far more valuable and transformational than just making sense of one particular experience. That may also happen in future, but that is not that important. The more foundational thing is to understand who the experiencer is. So the knowledge of the soul is given much more in Bhagavad Gita systematically. And also if you, we talked about mantra yoga also. Mantra yoga is a means by which we can elevate our consciousness. And you can experience this non-physical reality. So as you said, that you experience great peace. And you wanted it to go on and on.
Yes.
That is actually the nature of the self. The self is described as Sat Chit Ananda. Ananda means it's joyful.
It's peaceful,
blissful. That is the original nature of the soul. And the more we raise our consciousness to the spiritual level, the more we can experience that spiritual reality for ourselves. The more we can experience that peacefulness and joyfulness as a constant lived experience for us. So by practicing mantra yoga, you can yourself experience this higher reality. So more than the specific of the experience, try to actualize the universal implication of that experience.
I really appreciate that. Does everybody dream, or only certain people dream?
Everybody dreams, but not everyone recollects the dreams. And it is not that all the time we dream. So there is the soul, there is the mind, or which you call the subtle body. I explained it diagrammatically earlier. And there is the physical body. So our consciousness goes through various stages. So currently, the stage of the consciousness is the soul's consciousness coming out through the mind, through the body, to the outer world. So this is one state of consciousness, which in Sanskrit is called a jagruti.
Okay.
It's jagruti. And when we sleep, the soul's consciousness comes to the mind, but does not come to the body. So that is the swapna state, that is the sleep stage, sleeping, the dreaming stage.
Okay.
Now, the soul is always conscious, and its consciousness is going to go somewhere.
Okay.
So in that sense, in the mind, the soul will have experiences. But some experiences are recollected, some are not recollected. So dreams are there for everyone. But the recollection of the dreams will not be there for everyone.
Thank you. Is this explained in the book? Can I buy the book outside?
Yeah.
Okay. Is the PowerPoint slides inside the book?
No.
Not specific.
I can give that to you.
I give you my NUS card. Are you in NUS?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give you mine. Actually, that's one of my cards. But my email is bizvc. I'm in biz school.
Oh, okay.
First, okay. I'll just say biz. Bizvc is my email. NUS email. Okay. So I teach at the business school here.
Okay.
Thank you so much for Rachel. Thank you so
nice
much.
You.
Most honored to have met you. Thank you.
Happy to meet you.
Nice.
I'll give you the lecture as well as the PPT and forward both to. Have you told the topic of the mirror experience? How did you say that?
No, we are told the science of consciousness.
Okay. Who told the science of consciousness?
I think Rajivan Prabhu. That is a message that was a message we sent to
I never told that topic.
Okay.
I told generally talked about spirituality and age of science. So the topic was trying to speak of. But then I thought that would become very philosophical talk. We have to make it more an experiential to talk about the experiences.
Your laptop?
You can just close it.
I can just close.